This is West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann. We're speaking with Marthe Cohn, who in 1945 undertook an extraordinary mission for the French army. She was 24 years old at the time, and she's Jewish. The information she gathered in Germany helped to bring the war to an end. Cohn and her family fought the occupation from the beginning. One of her sisters and Cohn's fiancé paid for their resistance with their lives. Cohn will speak at 7:30 p.m. this evening at Western Michigan University's Fetzer Center. When I met with Cohn at a hotel in Grand Rapids, she told me about her efforts to join the official French resistance during the occupation. Ironically, she was turned down.
They interviewed me. I was taller than I am now. I was 4'11", but I shrunk a lot. I was 4'11". I was very thin, very blonde, with blue eyes and very light skin. They took me for bimbo. They never trusted me, so they never accepted me. They told me, all of them, several, when I was interviewed in Marseille and Paris, because I tried several times to join them and I gave up after. They told me, go back to your mother, little girl. They didn't take me seriously. That doesn't matter.
In 1944, after Paris was liberated, you were able to join the French army.
Yeah.
Were you chosen to be a spy right away?
No, not at all. I was first, when I arrived at the front in Alsace, because the front was in Alsace in November, I was able to join the army only in November 44, not in August 44, when Paris was liberated, because they discovered immediately that my identity card was a forged card, so they wouldn't accept it. And the second thing, my hometown of Metz was not yet liberated. I couldn't get a birth certificate. They wanted a birth certificate, the army. And you had to prove that you were, that you had not collaborated with the Germans. How do you prove that? So I was able to join in November because the mother of my, I was engaged at that time to a medical student, to a classmate of my sister who I met through her. And he had been arrested in, I think it was in July or August 1943. That showed the years, show, the months, I don't remember exactly, but it must have been June or July. And he was first condemned to forced labor for 20 years by the French tribunal. But then the French gave them to the Germans because they were French people who were bad too. You know, in every country you will find bad elements. And there were five students from Poitiers. And he and his brother were two of the five. And four of them were executed. And my fiancé was one of the four, were executed on October 6, 1943, on Mont Valeria in Paris. So their mother was in Poitiers. And after the liberation of Poitiers, I went to Poitiers and I took her to Paris because she was in very bad shape physically. She had lost her two boys, her only children. And she, her husband was in a concentration camp of Buchenwald in Germany. So she was all alone and she was in a terrible state physically. So I took her to Paris and she lived with us. And the army accepted that she vouched for me. And that's how I was finally accepted. So in October 1944, I went to the front, and when I arrived, the captain of intelligence, in every regiment you have at least one officer of intelligence, and he immediately disliked me at the first sight. And I don't know why I made such poor impression on these people. And he too wanted to send me back home. And I told him, oh no, I had enough trouble coming. And headquarters in Paris sent me, I'm going to stay. So furious, he told me as a registered nurse, I was a registered nurse, you should be an officer. But because you were such a coward, I make you sergeant. And I just shrugged my shoulders because I couldn't care less. Then more furious, he said, I don't need any nurses. I have enough nurses. You are going to be a social worker. So, and nobody gave me any directives how, what I should do as a social worker. So for 3 weeks, I was a social worker. And I went every day because nobody gave me any directives. I didn't know what to do. So I went every day to the front and asked our kids, because they were very young, most of them, in the foxholes, what they needed. And I brought them from the village as much as I could. The villagers were extremely generous for our troops. So that's what I did for several weeks. And then one day, walking in the square of the village, I met the colonel of the regiment. It was Pierre Fabien. And he had killed the first German in France. It's a metro station, Metro Barbès Rochechouart in Paris. There is now a metro station in Paris bearing his name. If you go to Paris, you can see it. Or you can see it on Google. And he stopped me and asked me to answer his phone during his lunch break. Do you see how life can change from one moment to the other? And he, in the office after showing me, he was leaving and he was very courteous. And he said to me, I'm sorry, I have nothing for you to read. There are only German books here. And I answered that I read German fluently. That was fine. And then very interested, he walked back to me, towards me, and asked me if I spoke German. And I told him yes, as well as French. And he then asked me again if I was willing to be transferred to the intelligence service of the first French army to which we belong. That was the army we belonged to. And I accepted. And that's when I became a spy.
This is West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann. We're speaking with Marthe Cohen. She was 24 when she went to Germany in 1945 to spy for French intelligence. Cohen walked all over the southwest corner of Germany, pretending to be a German nurse named Martha Ulrich.
I had a fiancé, and that fiancé existed. When I told them that I want a military German guy as a fiancé, because I know how romantic the Germans were, they immediately said, no problem. So they went to prisoner of war camp and chose a young man they found was right for me. His name was Hans. I remember his name. And they made Hans write love letters to me, to Martha Ulrich, and sign pictures to his dearest Martha Ulrich, or, you know, things like that. So these letters and these pictures helped me a great deal.
One of the key facts Cohn discovered was that the Germans had abandoned the Siegfried Line, an important defensive boundary along the French-German border. It started with watching how people moved around.
And I noticed that when they were going from A to B in daytime, they walked, because there was no transportation in daytime because of the American and English bombarders. You know, we're constantly bombarding Germany all over. They walked, and they walked in groups. So I joined a group. And in that group was a non-commissioned officer who came back from the Russian front where he had been wounded, and he was an SS. And he told us, all his life, and he told us all the atrocities they were committing on the Russian front. That was the first time I knew what was going on, because we were not at all aware of what was going on the Eastern Front. We knew only what was going on the Western Front. And the government of England and America kept us in the dark. And that's why we didn't know anything about the camp of concentration. We thought they were sent to work. It was strange. We didn't believe everything, but we didn't know what was going on. We only understood after the war. But before the war, we didn't know anything, what was going on. And in my sector, there were no camps, so I never saw a camp before the armistice. I saw only after the armistice, I saw survivors, not before. People from the camps. So we were walking with that non-commissioned officer, and he suddenly fainted. You see how lucky I was. I was a nurse. I took care of him. And when he regained consciousness, he was so grateful that he invited me to come and visit him at the Siegfried Line, and he gave me his phone number. So 3 weeks later, I came back to Freiburg. I had been at the Swiss border and coming back and doing a lot of things. But when I came back and I heard that, then I decided to go to see him. And I walked, it was 10 kilometers to the Siegfried Line. And when I arrived, I discovered the Siegfried Line was completely evacuated. They had long gone. The last stragglers were leaving, and they told me there is nobody anymore. They're all gone. And several of them told me the same things. So I knew it was true.
Marthe Cohn, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Marthe Cohn was a 24-year-old French-Jewish spy in Germany in the last months of World War II. She'll turn 96 next month. Cohn will talk more about her experiences in the French intelligence service during World War II tonight at 7:30 p.m. at Western Michigan University's Fetzer Center. You can hear our full interview with Cohn at wmuk.org. This is West Southwest. I'm Sevilla Mann.